I don't know anything about. All I know about fantasy sports is that my non-marriage partner Reed Martin, and the guy we work with Matt Croak are deep into it, deeply, deeply into it. And you know how, you know, when your wife is into something, you want to feign interest in it as well. So I was I anticipated your book eagerly because I went, great, I will finally understand the appeal of fantasy sports, and I do now. And that's really, really great. So I thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 280, Fantasy Sports Explained. Regular listeners to the podcast will remember this week's guest, AJ Mass. AJ and I shared our favorite time travel stories just about 10 weeks ago in episode 270. And in episode 204, he famously and inexplicably answered that age-old question, Kirk or Picard, with Janeway. AJ and I met when he interviewed me and Reed Martin for his book, How Fantasy Sports Explains the World, What Pujols and Peyton Can Teach Us About Wookiees and Wall Street. Well, his book was published last fall, and AJ and I talked about it just before Super Bowl Sunday. And now that baseball season has started, I thought it would be the perfect time to share our conversation with you.
I loved the book, but I wanted to start off straight off by saying I thought it was inaccurately titled.
Really?
I thought it should be How the World Explains Fantasy Sports.
You know, you're not the first one to raise that point. And for, you know, but you know, when you work as a fantasy sports analyst, and that is my job title, you know, you kind of have to put that first in the title to get the fan base in, and then expand out from there.
Expand out from there. Well, and you have expanded far and wide amongst both the known and the unknown fictional universes with some of the people that you've interviewed for this book. I mean, you interviewed us, Reed and I, in a chapter on Shall I Compare Thee to Tom Brady, which was one of your weaker chapters, and I apologize for that.
Well, you know, we tried to pull as many nuggets as we could out of you guys. And, yeah,
I know.
You success rate, yeah.
You work with what you can work with. But you've talked to, go down the list of the people that you've interviewed for the book.
Well, I was very fortunate to interview Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is one of the smartest men in the universe, who runs the Hayden Planetarium, hosts Nova on PBS, just a brilliant, brilliant man. We talked about astrophysics and time travel. I spoke with Steve Ward, host of VH1's Tough Love, about romance and the dating scene. Yao Man Chan, who is one of the most popular contestants from Survivor, the television show. I interviewed DJ Grothy, who works with the amazing Randy and runs the James Randi Educational Foundation, about the nefarious psychics out there and how they're going to get you.
Right.
And my favorite interviews with some TV people, Alex Sulkin, who writes for Family Guy, Janice Benson, who writes for Buffy, and she's currently writing for Once Upon a Time. But my absolute 100% favorite interview was with Damian Eccles of the West Memphis 3, who was still on death row when I was able to talk to him. And I didn't actually talk to him directly because, you know, you can't just pick up the phone and dial death row and say, hey, can I speak to one of the prisoners? So it was a long, hard process. I'm very grateful to Lonnie Suri and Damian's wife, Lori Davis, who were able to get the questions to him and return, because it was amazing. My book was released the day before they were. I felt a very, very big sense of satisfaction.
Really? Coincidence? Yeah. You decide. Well, and you, as I said, you talked to Reed and myself. You also talked to Jess Winfield, one of the writers of The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. Abridged. I mean, that list of people that you talked about, that you talked to, is indicative of how wide-ranging the book is. I mean, clearly you have interests in all these areas, or you wouldn't have talked to all these people. But why for you I guess, why did you feel like you wanted to talk to all these people to explain fantasy sports?
Well, it's kind of, you know, people ask me, what do I do? And I say, well, I write about fantasy sports. And the people who play fantasy sports, you know, that's pretty much the end of the discussion as far as what it is. They know what it is, and then they pepper me with questions for the next hour, and I wish I had made up a different answer. But the people who don't know what fantasy sports is, you know, the next series of questions is all about, well, what is that? How does that work? Oh, I don't understand. And I found over the years, the best way to do it, to explain situations that come up, is to use analogy. And I found I was using a lot of legal analogies and stock market analogies and even biblical analogies, Shakespeare, you know, just all parts of culture and science and pop culture. Like, analogy seems to work as a teaching tool. And because I was hitting all these areas over and over and over again, I said, you know, there might be something there where I can actually go and talk to people who are actually experts in these particular fields, or, you know, and find out from their point of view if they play the game or what they think might be the similarities, and then to kind of like come through with a common thread.
Well, and I bet some people were eager to talk to you because they understand inherently how fantasy sports applies to what they do.
Yeah, I think some of them did. Some of them had no idea what fantasy sports was. Jane Dispenza, you know, she kind of vaguely knew it because her boyfriend plays it, but you know, had no interest really in it herself. You know, I spoke to a biblical scholar, Jimmy Akin, and he, you know, because I was curious about you know, my religious education as far as, you know, the party line. I'm not that familiar with it, I was willing to get his take, and he was actually, he dove right in with the sports analogies himself. So, I mean, it was very much a give and take on some of these interviews, and I found that fascinating.
Well, and I think there is something cool about fantasy sports, but also, as you say, the biblical folks, or any of the people that you talk to. There's something about fantasy sports seems like one more way to kind of control your world or explain your world. And I think this is why people turn to religion, why people turn to fiction, why people turn to alcohol, whatever. They want control. They want an explanation. And fantasy sports does that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, you know, I'm in my 40s, early 40s, early 40s.
Your hairline says different. I'm just saying.
Well, okay. But, you know, early as a kid, you know, you when you watch sports, you know, you had the teams that were in your hometown, and the players stayed on those teams for their entire careers. I mean, there wasn't player movement the way there is today. So, you know, there may not have been as much of a need to feel in control of your sports teams. But, you know, as time goes by, and, like, you know, you can look at your roster this year for your favorite team, and it's nearly half different from last year. But you were fans of these players. If you want to continue to root for these players, it's kind of hard if they're all in different places. By playing fantasy sports, you can, like, take control of it and says, well, these guys are still my guys because they're on my team, my fantasy team. I think that, and in addition, the internet, which made following players who are out of town or from long distances a lot easier, and advances in technology, I think those combined to, you know, create this kind of perfect storm where fantasy sports is more the norm than actually following sports the way we used to.
Right. It gives you a stake in the outcome. The Super Bowl is this weekend, and I'm only rooting for the Patriots over the Giants because my wife is from New England and I spent a lot of time there in my early professional life. But mostly I root for whichever team has the most University of California Berkeley alumni on it, because
that works too.
Yeah, that's my connection. Well, as I say, I'm not into fantasy sports, and I only really follow most sports as we get to playoff time. But there's so many great stories in the book about athletes. I mean, not the least of which is the Christmas you spent dealing blackjack to Allen Iverson. But also you mentioned my boy Tuffy Rhodes.
Tuffy Rhodes, home runs against the Doc.
I was at that game.
Wow, really?
When I lived in Chicago, I lived walking distance to Wrigley Field, and I went to every opening day for the 5 years I lived in Chicago in the 90s, and I saw Tuffy Rhodes, and so I would talk to Matt Croak, who lived in Chicago, you know, after that, and does fantasy sports, plays fantasy sports with Reed. And I'd say, hey, how's my boy Tuffy? And she went, yeah, he's not doing so well. He's playing in Japan, and that was kind of the beginning and the end of his career that day.
Yeah, although he did have a very, very successful career in Japan. It's just we don't know about it.
Right, right. Well, and it was great. It was that sort of, and that's the sort of thing that I love about sports, and I can see why people, I can see the appeal completely of fantasy sports, because it, you get to share in one player's glory. Although I guess that player then also becomes a major headache and you have to trade him away quickly if he's bringing down your team.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the other appeals is that, you don't have any control of the outcomes of these games. And truth be told, in fantasy sports, you really don't either. You set your lineup and you hope that you've made the right choices, but you're not on the field, hitting the ball, catching the passes. It's an illusion of control, but it is even the illusion of control is better than thinking you have no control, because you wake up every morning, you have to go to work to do the meeting that you have to get the job done that this other guy wants you to do so he can sell the product, and that's your life. There's no control over that. You have control over I want to play, and these are my players, and these are the players I want to root for, and it does give you a little bit more control over a world that we all, intuitively, I think, know that we really can't control.
Right. This is why we cling to our illusion.
Hi, this is Mayor Cory Booker of the great city of Newark, New Jersey. Not Newark, Delaware, not Newark, California, Newark, New Jersey. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare's Company broadcast.
Podcast,
dagnabbit. The quality of mercy is not strained. It sprinkles from above like the... No.
Now you're just showing off.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This spring and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K., including cities like Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Peterborough, Canterbury, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Basingstoke, Crawley, where we hope to meet Lord and Lady Grantham, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London, returning to the Arts Theatre. And for a short time only, the Arts Theatre in London is selling a reduced number of tickets per performance for the special London Olympics 2012 price of 2012. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
In writing the book and in talking to all the people that you talk to, did you learn anything about fantasy sports that you didn't know?
I don't think that I learned anything about, how to play the game that I didn't already know. I mean, having been doing fantasy sports for over 20 years, it's like, I think that aspect of it was not new to me. I think what I didn't know was how right I was that it does apply to all these other areas. I was hoping to find these analogies and these common threads, but every person I spoke to immediately got it once I explained it to them, and was like, oh yeah, it's kind of like this.
Right.
It's kind of like this. And the fact that it actually is a universal need to have these, this control over things, to live vicariously through others and share their successes, and how that gives you a sense of victory, even though you didn't really do anything, except maybe mouse click, start, sit. Mm-hmm. But, there really is this through line that, whether it's the stock market or whether it's, the Bible or astrophysics, that there is this kind of connection that we all have, this need to be involved and be part of things,
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody got that. I think that's what I was surprised that even if they were like saying, hey, I never thought of it that way before, but you're right. And then the floodgates open.
That sense of community, that sense of belonging. Yeah. Did you, is that what brought you to fantasy sports at the beginning? How did you get involved?
Well, when I was very, very young, I said to myself, I live within walking distance of Shea Stadium, and I wanted to be a baseball player. That's what I wanted to do. I was really good as a kid, and I said, I'm going to be a baseball player when I grow up. And then, reality set in, and you know, you've met me. I don't have the build of a professional athlete, to put it kindly. You don't have to laugh that much.
No, but listen, I feel your pain.
Yeah, but, you know, so I realized, well, maybe I'd have to go down in a different direction. and, you know, I went to Syracuse to study broadcast journalism because I figured, well, I'll be the next Bob Costas. I'll announce baseball games. And somehow, through that line of training, and, you know, that gave me the journalism background. And then, believe it or not, I ended up as mascot for the New York Mets.
which is great. And I know I'm not going to be able to get any stories out of you about being the mascot for the New York Mets, because you're saving that for your next book, right?
Correct. The Mr. Met memoir. But, you know, that was just a, yeah, okay, sure, that's the logical next step. So, quite frankly, for 4 years, I was in the major leagues. I even got my picture taken on a few baseball cards. Like, I was, you know, I got my dream of being in the major leagues. So, like, that was just kind of weird. It's not the angle most people shoot for when they try to achieve their goals. But there I was. You know, at the same time, I continued writing and following sports. And a good friend of mine, Matthew Berry, who wrote the foreword for my book, had a website. He invited me to write a few guest articles on his website. And, you know, it grew and grew, and soon after he was bought out by ESPN, and the next thing I know, I'm writing fantasy sports for ESPN.
Boom.
So, you know, it's we may not control what happens to us, but if you make the right, you know, choices that you're happy with, you might end up winning that championship with a dream job, you know?
That's great. That what a great success story. And it's and one more answer to, how do you get involved in this business? There is no answer. There's no one answer.
There is no one answer.
And the thing that I thought was also great about the book, and it's the kind of book where even if you're not interested in sports or fantasy sports, it's the kind of book that makes a great present to that relative who is. Because there's so much to get out of it. And I can think of several relatives and several friends who could use the book, because there's so much about problem solving, about working with others, that is revealed not only in participating in a fantasy league, but in talking to the various people that you've talked to.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like I said, it does have appeal, you know, beyond the sports fan, although obviously that's, you know, that's my bailiwick, that's where I turn to for the through line. But, you know, it's really about whatever it is that you're passionate about. You know, if you're passionate about fantasy sports, then obviously you get some of the fantasy sports analogies, but it really is applicable to whatever it is that you have a passion for and that you commit your time to and your energies and whatever your free time is, whatever that passion project of yours is. You can use the skills that are used in fantasy sports to you know, really improve yourself in all these other areas. Someone once told me, who read it, they said it was kind of like a really cool, hip self-help book without any of the preachy stuff.
Yeah, that's a good way to talk about it. And whether that appeals to some people and not others, I don't know. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like I said, you know, and it's like a lot of it is this analogy. And yes, you know, I hark back, and Austin's ears are going to light up now, people. You know, it's kind of like that episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation. You know, Darmok.
Darmok Alagra. Yeah, something.
Yeah, the Beast of Tanagra. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's metaphor. It's metaphor, but if you don't know who Juliet is or who is on the balcony or what she's doing on the balcony, it doesn't mean anything to you. Well, I think this is a way to kind of like take those sports terms and everything and explain to you why Juliet is on her balcony, why Albert Pujols is in your lineup, and yet you can then take the lessons that are there and translate them into whatever Argo is of your particular niche passion project.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your fantasies via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit, won't you? Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Big in Japan Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jungle Cruise 20, who also goes by Colin on our website comments pages. No reason, it's just random. A special thanks to Newark Mayor Cory Booker, who takes such good care of his city there in New Jersey. He literally last week went into his burning neighbor's house and saved a woman's life. His ability to wax Shakespearean extempore from his mother wit ain't too shabby either. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 280/840 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I can think of no better way to end than on that. On that note, although I will ask, if I ask you Beatles or Rolling Stones, will you say Men at Work?
No. I think I'm going to have to go with Beatles on that one.
Ginger or Marianne? Selma Diamond?
Oh, ball! Yep.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.